Good morning. Thank you very much for coming to my presentation. My name is Diana Castillo, and I'm a graduate student at Purdue University. And I'll be presenting part of my research titled Egg Survival and Seasonal Phenology of the Soybean Aphid on its Overwintering Host in Indiana. I would like to start my presentation by mentioning some of the biology of the soybean aphid. Aphis Lycina matsumura, it's native to Eastern Asia. It was first reported in the US in the summer of 2000 in Wisconsin. This is a host alternating pest that utilizes soybean plants as a secondary host during the summer, where it reproduces parthenogenically. Soybean plants being the second largest crop produced in the US, they're pretty important for this economy. Sexual reproduction in the overwintering stage occurs on plants in the genus Rhamnus, commonly known as the buckthorns. There have been three primary hosts confirmed in the US, and these are Rhamnus cathartica, common buckthorn, Rhamnus alnifolia, and Rhamnus lanceolata. There have been studies to measure the severity of the soybean aphid in soybean fields in Indiana from 2001 to 2008. And these results show that there is a clear periodicity to the population of the soybean aphid. This means that there have been outbreak years. This same pattern is repeated in some other Midwestern soybean producing areas. This periodicity we attribute mostly to the biocontrol of natural enemies, mostly coccinellates. What is important here for my research is that whenever there is a low year on soybean fields, I would have a high year on Rhamnus cathartica and vice versa. So the main question for my research was, what are the factors that might affect mortality on the overwintering host? In order to try to answer this question, we broke it down to three main objectives. The first one is measure the survival of the egg populations during the winter. The second one, determine whether the abiotic or biotic factors are the causes of this mortality. And last but not least, try to estimate the population dynamics that occur on this overwintering host. So for my first objective, to measure the egg survival during the winter, there were two experiments. And the first one consisted in me going to the field, looking for soybean aphid eggs, mark them, and inspect them every week. The second one was a random collection of Rhamnus cathartica throughout the season, these to measure the percentage of living eggs over time in the field. These are the two sites where my research takes place. And the first one is located where Purdue University is in West Lafayette. And the second one is in Rome City, in a reserve named after this famous writer, Jean Strand Porter. These are the results for my first objective. And in the y-axis, we have the percentage of survivorship, and the x-axis, the time. And as you can see, there is an approximate 70% of mortality of these eggs occurring in the egg cohorts. And for the second experiment, we can see how the egg population drops over time out in the field. So we noticed there was mortality. The second question was, we wanted to determine what are the factors causing this mortality. That's why we set up a new experiment from 2007 and 2008. And this consisted in clusters of known numbers of eggs that were placed outside in the field. And half of them were protected with cages, and half of them were not. And every time we would go to the field to inspect on the eggs, we would monitor predators. And with using the bead cloth sample, basically it's a cloth that we place under the branches. We bead the branches, and we identify the predators. These pictures show Aureus insidiosus, predator of the soybean aphid, and a aphid larvae. So this is the result for my cage experiment. As you can notice in my November readings, I had a 50% of mortality in these cages. But there was a very close to 0% survivorship in the unprotected treatments. This tells me that this cage somehow is protecting the eggs from something. And there was a difference in the sites. I can try to explain this by the abundance of predators that I found. you can see that there were higher numbers of predators in one site compared to the other one. And basically, the predators that we found out in the field, Aureus insidiosus, coccinellids, spiders, and other predators like damsel bugs and cirrhid larvae. So for my third objective, I want to try to estimate the population dynamics that occur on the overwintering host. And this consisted in collections of Rhamnes catharica, bring them back to the laboratory, and stage the aphids. A temperature device was placed in both sites. This to measure the phenology of the Rhamnes catharica as well. In this graph, I wanted to plot the abundance of aphids and predators. This happened this fall. And I want to mention some things here. September 19th, I went to the field to look for the aphids on Rhamnes catharica, and I couldn't find any. The 20th, I got a phone call. The aphids are here. And by the 21st, I started doing my readings. And as you can see, there is an increase in the number of aphids. This is due to migration, because they were still coming from the soybean fields. And by October 10th, I couldn't find any more aphids. So the population dropped dramatically. And this same thing happened in other places that I visited in Illinois, in Michigan, and in Ohio. I found a couple of aphids October 17, but these were males, since they migrate to the primary host later than the females. And by October 24th, I started seeing the eggs out in the field. This table pretty much shows what I was finding, the stages of the aphids that I was finding. Again, pointing out the date that they arrived to the primary host, and that by October 24th, I was finding the eggs, when there was a 75% of leaf drop of the Rhamnes catharica. And this shows the stages that I found during this spring. And this shows the hatching date, when there was just 25% of bud break. But by April 18th, there was 100% of bud break, indicating they had plenty of food to be on Rhamnes catharica. So the readings continued throughout the season, and by June 4, I couldn't find any more soybean aphids on the Rhamnes catharica, indicating that they went back to the soybean fields. So my overall conclusions are, the predators can definitely influence the abundance of the soybean aphid soon after migration. And my overwintering studies show that there is mortality in both treatments, in caged and uncaged treatments. This means that both abiotic and biotic factors can influence the mortality of the eggs of the soybean aphid on the primary host. I want to acknowledge my professors and mentors, my lab collaborators, and these institutions that without their help or economic support, I couldn't be telling you this story, and my family and friends. Thank you very much for your attention. I'll be taking some questions. Yeah.
Did you ever notice any direct observations of predators attacking these eggs or aphids on their aphids?
No. No. Not really. Yes.
How do you get the relationship between egg on the primary host and then outbreak in the soybean field?
With the graph that I explained?
Yeah. Like the density of, or whatever the parameter of the
okay, yeah. Well, let's see this year, for example. We had a low year in Indiana on soybean fields, and I was expecting high populations on the Rhamnes catharica, and there was a huge migration to the Rhamnes catharica. But there was a mortality. But if I wouldn't have noticed mortality, let's say everything worked perfect for the soybean aphid, next year would be high on soybean fields, just because, you know, there wasn't mortality on the primary host. And since they reproduce parthenogenically during spring on Rhamnes catharica, even though there is mortality during fall, they can keep up and like reproduce fast, you know, to migrate to soybean fields. But so I can say that next year, I cannot say it's gonna be super high year in Indiana, but it might be. I mean, we don't know, because we don't know where we're getting the aphids. You know, we can be getting them from Illinois or Ohio. I don't know. Yes. You. Yes. Actually, yeah, this fall is the first time that I've noticed. But I don't know if they were the primary like effect that was the mortality. I could say they were secondary feeders.
Do you think there could have been any other effects of cage protecting those eggs besides just from predators?
Yeah, physical effects. Or moisture that they get from the plant, even though, you know, the egg, it's they're not feeding, obviously, but they get moisture from the plant. And in my trials, all the eggs that I put out there, I rear them because I couldn't find out in the field. So I attribute that the moisture because there were twigs that I attached to the plant, so probably that too affected. No more questions? Well, thank you very much.